The heavy booted feet moved across the floor again and into the other bedroom. A closet door opened and closed with a bang. Anne-Marie eased her bedroom door closed silently. She stumbled through the darkness to the bed.
Ellen, she whispered urgently, take your necklace off.
Ellen's hands flew to her neck. Desperately, she began trying to unhook the tiny clasp. Outside the bedroom door, the harsh voices and heavy footsteps continued.
I can't get it open, Ellen said frantically. I never take it off. I can't even remember how to open it.
Anne-Marie heard a voice just outside the door.
What is here?
Shh,
her mother replied. My daughter's bedroom. They are sound asleep.
Hold still, Anne-Marie commanded. This will hurt.
She grabbed the little gold chain, yanked with all her strength, and broke it. As the door opened and light flooded into the bedroom, she crumpled it into her hand and closed her fingers tightly. Terrified, both girls looked up at the three Nazi officers who entered the room. One of the men aimed a flashlight around the bedroom. He went to the closet and looked inside. Then, with a sweep of his gloved hand, he pushed to the floor several coats and a bathrobe that hung from pegs on the wall. There was nothing else in the room except a chest of drawers, the blue decorated trunk in the corner, and a heap of Kirsty's dolls piled in a small rocking chair. The flashlight beam touched each thing in turn. Angrily, the officer turned toward the bed.
Get up, he ordered. Come out here.
Trembling, the two girls rose from the bed and followed him, brushing past the two remaining officers in the doorway, to the living room. Anne-Marie looked around. These three uniformed men were different from the ones on the street corners. The street soldiers were often young, sometimes ill at ease, and Anne-Marie remembered how the giraffe had, for a moment, let his harsh pose slip and had smiled at Kirsty. But these men were older, and their faces were set with anger. Her parents were standing beside each other, their faces tense, but Kirsty was nowhere in sight. Thank goodness that Kirsty slept through almost everything. If they had wakened her, she would be wailing, or worse, she would be angry and her fists would fly.
Your names? The officer barked.
Anne-Marie Johansson, and this is my sister.
Quiet, let her speak for herself. Your name?
He was glaring at Ellen. Ellen swallowed.
Lisa, she said, and cleared her throat. Lisa Johansson.
The officer stared at them grimly. Now, Mama said in a strong voice, you have seen that we are not hiding anything. May my children go back to bed. The officer ignored her. Suddenly, he grabbed a handful of Ellen's hair. Ellen winced. He laughed scornfully.
You have a blonde child sleeping in the other room, and you have this blonde daughter.
He gestured toward Anne-Marie with his head.
Where did you get the dark-haired one?
He twisted the lock of Ellen's hair.
From a different father? From the milkman?
Papa stepped forward.
Don't speak to my wife in such a way. Let go of my daughter, or I will report you for such treatment. Or maybe you got her someplace else, the officer continued with a sneer. From the Rosens?
For a moment, no one spoke. Then Anne-Marie, watching in panic, saw her father move swiftly to the small bookcase and take out a book. She saw that he was holding the family photograph album. Very quickly, he searched through its pages, found what he was looking for, and tore out three pictures from three separate pages. He handed them to the German officer, who released Ellen's hair.
You will see each of my daughters, each with her name written on the photograph, Papa said.
Anne-Marie knew instantly which photographs he had chosen. The album had many snapshots, all the poorly focused pictures of school events and birthday parties, but it also contained a portrait taken by a photographer of each girl as a tiny infant. Mama had written in her delicate handwriting the name of each baby daughter across the bottom of those photographs. She realized, too, with an icy feeling, why Papa had torn them from the book. At the bottom of each page, below the photograph itself, was written the date. And the real Lisa Johansson had been born 21 years earlier.
Kirsten Elizabeth,
the officer read, looking at Kirsty's baby picture. He let the photograph fall to the floor.
Anne-Marie,
he read next, glanced at her and dropped the second photograph.
Lisa Margrethe,
he read finally and stared at Ellen for a long, unwavering moment. In her mind, Anne-Marie pictured the photograph that he held. The baby, wide-eyed, propped against a pillow, her tiny hand holding a silver teething ring, her bare feet visible below the hem of an embroidered dress, the wispy curls, dark. The officer tore the photograph in half and dropped the pieces on the floor. Then he turned, the heels of his shiny boots grinding into the pictures, and left the apartment. Without a word, the other two officers followed. Papa stepped forward and closed the door behind him. Anne-Marie relaxed the clenched fingers of her right hand, which still clutched Ellen's necklace. She looked down and saw that she had imprinted the Star of David into her palm.